WYBC New Haven.
I just have really bad ideas when it comes to giving for my family. I just can't think of things to give them. I think it has a lot to do with the relationship between myself and my family members versus myself and my friends. And I think what I'm looking for is different, and the meaning of gift giving is also very different. Because when you give a gift, or when I give a gift to a friend or an acquaintance or a classmate, mm-hmm. or someone who's not in my immediate family, it's sort of sharing and seeking a type of affection. And that's something that is a given in the family. Like, uh-huh. I already have their love and approval. Gift-giving with them is just a gesture, and not... It's just something that people do because it's Christmas or because it's your birthday, and not because, you know what, I think this person would really like that. And that has really affected the way I give gifts. So I love giving gifts to friends, but I hate shopping. Can't buy me love.
For money, money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give. Everything you love me too. I may not have a lot to give. What I got, I'll give to you. Cause I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me.
Welcome to the Radley Porch. I'm Monty Atkinson.
And I'm Rachel Haverford. We're sitting on our front porch here in New Haven, Connecticut, enjoying some hot apple cider and discussing gifts with a couple of friends.
We're chatting about gifts we've given, received, and remembered.
In the first segment, we'll ask ourselves, what does it mean to give a gift? Is it ever hard to part with a gift?
In the second segment, we'll be talking about white elephants and Secret Santa.
In the third segment, we'll talk about receiving gifts. What are meaningful gifts you've received, and what makes them so special?
In the final segment, we'll talk about the role shopkeepers play in gift-giving magic. For me, the moment of handing over a wrapped present has the same anticipation of going down a slide. It's so exciting, yet anxiety-filled. Have you guys ever really agonized over what to get someone?
I think once I actually broke up with a guy because I didn't want to have to think about what to get him for Valentine's Day. I don't know. I've done that. I actually do that, like, kind of a lot. Like, if I'm in a relationship, and this would never be the only reason I would break up with someone, but if I'm kind of on the fence anyways, like, and I know that their birthday is coming up or Christmas is coming up, I'll break up with them before that so I don't have to get them a present. So it's a good indication that I should break up with them anyways, though.
I didn't really learn how to give gifts until I met my boyfriend and his family, because my family is like yours. It's like nobody really gives gifts, and I think there's also... Because it's the anxiety that the person won't like the gift outweighs the benefit of even trying to buy them a gift, and like maybe they'll like it. And my boyfriend's family, like, gift giving it's the opposite. It's like you have to get a gift kind of to like show your appreciation and say thank you. And if you don't get a gift, that's far worse than getting them something that they might not like.
Why do we feel the need to give gifts on certain special days? And like, what happens if you just gave gifts only when... We found something that we happen to enjoy, but like you're saying,
I just find that's how I always approached it, and that's kind of what I gathered from my family's tendency to never give gifts. But what you find is if you have that approach, you don't. I mean, often I find something for someone because I go looking for it, and I decide I'm gonna actually look for a gift for this person, and then things start to jump out at you. I mean, it's one thing if you're traveling and you come across something, but I mean I've found, like, since I've kind of started getting into this gift thing with my boyfriend's family, that it's really nice when people give you, even if it's not something that you're crazy about, sometimes it'll grow on you, or it'll surprise you, or they'll get you something that you never would have gotten for yourself that can actually be a really pleasant surprise, you know?
Right.
Whereas with my family, like, there's this anxiety about buying gifts, so you put it off till the last minute, and then you end up buying them something that they really don't want, you know, but that, like, you know, it's better than nothing.
So are you saying with your boyfriend's family that you give them... Like, it doesn't have to ever be a special day or occasion. It can be at any point.
No, it is for special. It's, like, for Christmas.
You have to.
And he starts planning, like, Christmas and their anniversaries, like, in advance, because he knows that if he doesn't have a gift for them, like, it will be bad. I mean, the other, like, side of it is that there's this weird exchange thing that happens where it is expected that you get a gift, and there is this kind of slightly uncomfortable materialistic aspect to it, where, like, you have to do something. I mean, it's meant as a gesture, so it's not like the object matters so much.
Right.
But
so basically that
you have to do something.
Yeah.
And that can become a little bit of a kind of constraint as well.
I think that there's a difference between being conscious about gift giving, so like going into a store and like really trying hard to imagine, you know, the moment of presenting a gift, you know, the like absolute best thing that you can purchase at a store or make. Like, I remember I was on vacation in Houston, and I went to a pottery place, you know, where you can like make your own ceramics, and I thought, oh, wouldn't this be great if I like made a little plate or something for my parents, you know, and this would be, I had this like grand idea, like I was going to surprise them, and this was going to be like the thing that I made with my friend. And it turned out to be kind of a failure of a gift, in the sense that like my parents liked it because they like everything that I bring them from traveling, but it wasn't like a particular, like I got really excited about it, but it wasn't like a particularly, I think, meaningful thing for my parents. You know, they were just excited to have something. Whereas I feel like sometimes the best gifts that I've given to my family has been gifts that I actually don't even, you know, think about when I walk into a store or when I'm on vacation. It's like, I remember my mom really likes to make clothing, and she likes to sew. And I remember when I was a kid, one year I like found this like measurement table on like, you know, different sizes and shapes of things, if you're like knitting a sweater or you're making like socks, and I like basically cut and pasted it on like construction paper, and she still has it, you know, and that was like years ago.
Does she use it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was like totally useless. I mean, you know, it's like a totally useless childish thing, but it was just really weird that she's held on to that, and for some reason, like, my not thinking about how, like, great of a gift this is, because I'm walking into a store and having it gift wrapped, and, you know, I'm coming back from a vacation and giving it to my parents, meant kind of more that I wasn't, you know, conscious about it, but I just, like, wanted to do that for her because I thought that's something that she likes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a long-winded way of saying that I think there's a difference between, like, conscious gift-giving and unconscious gift-giving. Mm-hmm. I think that some of the first gifts that I gave were some of the, like, unconscious gifts. Like, I didn't really, like, go to a store and pick out a gift until I was, like, much older. Mm-hmm. Until I was, like, maybe 9 or 10, even, you know, when, you know, we would actually, like, go to a store and my mom would say, like, okay, we're getting a gift for your cousin, you can pick it out. But I think that we, like, I would imagine that many human beings, like, start giving gifts much, much earlier, before, like, you can even conceive of what it means to pick out a gift. Like, when you're a child and you, like, pick up a stone that's, like, really interesting looking and you give it to your sister or something, that's a gift right there that, like, has nothing to do with, like, picking it out and, like, thinking about, you know, thinking beforehand, like, planning it, you know. It's just, like, something nice that you want to give to somebody.
That's true, but I always feel the pressure to get people gifts on certain, like, their birthdays or holidays. But then again, not everyone always expects to receive gifts for every event. Sometimes it's an unnecessary gesture.
I have a father who's exactly like that. He really is so unexcited by gifts, and he, you know, he forgets it's people's birthdays, and, you know, he doesn't even know when it's his. He's not a Scrooge, but he really doesn't sort of get into the whole present thing at Christmas. But I think it's partly of that, the way he became about that is to do with his ethos about bringing us up. He doesn't want us to be, you know, gift-orientated, material-orientated, so he just never shows kind of excitement or, you know, he doesn't sort of display any sense of kind of emotional investment in gifts and presents, because it's just not about that for him. So it's kind of the way he outwardly expresses that philosophy.
Do you think that's a conscious decision on his part, or...?
A bit of both, maybe. I mean, I'm sure that he would agree with what I'm saying, but at the same time, it's not like he has to try out and go out of his way to... You know, it's also part of his nature to be a bit like that.
My parents, like, my mom is really, really into the idea of gifts and, like, giving and getting them, but my dad like, doesn't, I don't know, it, like, doesn't really have that much importance to him, so, like, no matter what you give him, he, like, is just kind of, like, okay with it, like, no matter how much thought you put into it.
Yeah.
And so, like, on anniversaries and stuff, like, sometimes we'll, like, get them gifts that we, like, think that my dad will love, just to, like, try and get a reaction out of him. So, like, one year we, like, got them tickets to an Aretha Franklin concert, which I would really have liked to gotten to instead. My dad was like, that's great, thanks, I like Aretha a lot. He does. Or, like, we, like, I remember one year I, like, got him, like, some, like, really obscure Ray Charles recording, and he, like, sat down, like, in our living room, like, listened to the whole thing, like, front and back, and he was like, not his best. And that was, like, his only response, but, like, I think sometimes it's a little bit more comfortable to have people, like, don't put that much store by gifts. It's, like, a little bit easier and less stressful to get them things.
The fact that, I think you kind of mentioned, but the fact that your dad doesn't really take to gifts that easily, like, does that make you want to try harder, or does that make you give up, or what is the process of that?
Well, I mean, I think that we, I don't know, my dad puts up with a lot from all of us, like, all year, so we, like, try really hard. Like, this year for his birthday, which is actually, like, a week ago, we got him tickets to a Gatto Barbieri concert at Blues Alley, which, like, we were, like, really excited about and thought he would love. And I think he, like, probably, like, really enjoys them. He just, like, is, like, not, he, like, doesn't, I don't know, it's, there's, like, some kind of disconnect for him between, like, the gift and, like, what the actual result is. Like, he can enjoy the concert and, like, still not be, like, that excited about, like, the gift. Or, like, he'll, like, always, like, on birthdays, he'll be like, what do you want? And he'll be like, surprise me. Or, like, yeah. And then, like, a week after your birthday, he'll be like, can I just give you money or something? And then we'll just, like, forget about it.
So maybe we just shouldn't stress out so much about getting people gifts.
Like, I stress out so much about getting people presents because I place such a high value on it being something they're really going to like and showing that I care about them and showing that, like, I personally know them, that I will, like, spend forever looking for something and then, like, I'll be so stressed, like, before I give it to them, and if I think they don't really like it, then I'll get really upset. I don't know. I feel like it's a shame because gift giving should be a fun thing for everybody, but it's sometimes very high pressure.
I've, in recent years, made it, whenever I'm buying someone a present, like, I consciously sort of go through my mind, okay, no matter what, whether you like this thing or not, you know, is this something that person, you know, rack your brains, try as hard as you can to imagine whether this, despite your personal preferences, is going to be something they're going to like. And it's much harder than it seems to really, really, like, really erase your own personal thoughts and get into their mindset. Much harder, even when you know someone quite well, I think.
But sometimes it does help if you know people really well, because you two, between the two of you, or as a group, kind of build up a tradition of gift-giving, or your own special language of what it means to give a gift.
My friends and I, like, kind of fell into this birthday tradition, and I think it, like, got kind of, like, more accentuated, like, after we left for college, where, like, everyone's birthday, like, falls in, like, the same span from, like, March to August, and, like, we would, like, they're mostly boys, and, like, I'm, like, the driving force behind celebrating birthdays at all, so we would, like, bake a cake, and it's always been, like, a fairy princess cake, because no one else is willing to bake a cake.
What is a fairy princess cake?
Generally, it's from strawberry cake mix. It has pink frosting, and it has, like, Barbie candles. Like, it originally started as, like, trying to, like, motivate them into, like, participating in this. And, like, one of them is, like, a great, like, he's, like, a gourmet chef, but, like, if he's not around, I have to do it, and that means it comes from, like, cake mix. And there's a tiara. I actually have a birthday tiara that someone has borrowed for a show at Yale, but whoever is the birthday person has to wear. And then, like, basically, it consists of, like, everyone spends the day together, like, doing the things that, like, we would normally do, but, like, everyone pays for the birthday person. Like, often that means, like, doing things that they don't want to do, but that, like, someone else wants to do, like, going to a concert they're not really excited about, or, like, things like that. Just, like...
Wait, that the birthday person would like to do?
Does not want to
do.
Oh, so the... that everyone else wants to do. The birthday person is paid for, though, and there's, like, you know, if they, like, take them out to dinner. It's just, like, gotten so ridiculous, and, like...
Wait, and you said most of them... your friends are guys, so do they wear the tiara?
They do wear the tiara. I'm, like, pretty strict about it.
Oh, God.
I think the tear actually came in, like, I think I, like, got it at Walgreens, like, for Halloween, like, freshman year of college, so that was, like, a recent addition, but I don't know. I think that baked goods are, like, the best way to celebrate a birthday.
Everyone needs to eat, right?
Yeah, and, like, I think there's, like, something just, like, about, like, being with other people and, like, just, like, doing things that are, like, completely comfortable at a good event. Like, that's, like, a good birthday present to receive also.
I definitely agree. Sometimes the non-traditional, low-key gift is what's most memorable.
I haven't read the Harry Potters, like, religiously, but I think in one of the Harry Potters, there's a scene where Neville, you know, the boy whose parents are in a mental institution, where they, like, visit his parents, and there's, like, a scene where his mother goes up to him and, not really recognizing that he's her son, gives her, like, bubble gum wrappers or something like that. And then he, like, puts it in his pocket and tries not to cry. And I'm sure I'm, like, not even remembering the scene very well. But I remember reading that and thinking, wow, like, that's... I don't think J.K. Rowling's the best author of all time, and I don't think, like, Harry Potter is a particularly, like, outstanding series of books, but I felt like that was a moment where I felt like, all right, J.K. Rowling, that's a good scene to write as an author, and a good characterization, because, you know, like, that kind of gift-giving is a really meaningful act, even if the thing that's actually being given is totally worthless by normal monetary standards.
When you were little, right, people gave you gifts for birthdays and Christmas and stuff. But for me, like, when holiday time came along, I didn't have any money. I mean, I still don't have any money to buy gifts, but I didn't have any money to, like, buy them gifts, and I didn't even think about that as an option. I would always make things that I'm sure the gift receivers didn't want at all, like ornaments made out of noodles and things. Like, no one actually wants those things. But I spent a lot of time making. Every year I would make, like, 1 year I embroidered handkerchiefs. No one uses handkerchiefs. But I spent a lot of time on this, and I felt so good. Like, oh, they really want these things. And I realize it now. But, I mean, what did you guys make things? Did you not give gifts when you were little? Because you have no real options.
When,
you know?
I was little, for, like, Mother's Day and my parents' birthdays, my sister and I would always, like, get up really early and, like, make them breakfast in bed. But until my sister turned, like, 7 or 8, we weren't allowed to use the oven, so we had this, like, Care Bear cookbook, and it was, like, a cookbook of recipes that you can make without using the oven, but it was all, like, raw, like, it was, like mixed peanut butter and, like, such and such, and it was, like, disgusting, and my parents, like, gagged them down, like, birthday after birthday, and, like, pretended to love them, and, like, to this day, my mother will, like, still tell the story about, like, what a great mother she was for, like, gagging down all of our presents.
And sometimes there are those presents that are so good that you actually want them. You don't even want to give it to the person they're meant for.
My friend was making a lamp because he's a blacksmith. And we went to the junkyard and, like, picked up all these, like, awesome parts. And, like, the lampshade was, like, this rotating, like, cylinder that, like, let, like, little streams of light through. And it was, like, absolutely fantastic. And, like, the you know, the support was a camshaft from a car and so on and so forth.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it was really cool. You know, he built this thing. Like, it was a touch-on, touch-off lamp. So if you touch the base of the lamp, it would, like, turn on. Anyway, really neat. He was going to give it to me when he was done with it. And instead, he ended up selling it for, like, $500. And I was like, wait, that was such a cool lamp.
No, I had a similar thing. I made a chess set. I went to a scrapyard and bought metal. And I made a chess set for my girlfriend. And I didn't want to give it to her because I loved it so much. But in the end, I did give it to her. And I figured, well, someday we'll live together and I'll still get to have it. So.
But that reminds me of the exact opposite, too. When you find something around your house that you don't want anymore, but you think someone else could use it.
I kind of like it, yeah. I mean, I feel like I've definitely gotten gifts from other people who, I mean, really, honestly, like, tell me, well, you know, this is something that I just had lying around, like a book that I had, or, you know, like from older people who are like, oh, well, you know, this is something that my daughter had, but she's grown up now and you might enjoy this, that I really liked, you know. I grew up with hand-me-downs, so I feel like things can be really new to you and exciting, even if they already have a world.
I almost think it's better that they've had a different life, and I'm just continuing that life.
Yeah, like, yeah, you and I were talking about used books, mm-hmm. You know, and, like, I think that, like, used books are really fascinating because you know, sometimes they have these little inscriptions. And it's really cool to sort of think about the other life that this object had. And especially it's cool with books because people underline and write their notes and then you try to, like, figure it out, so.
I had a biology teacher who gave away all these books at the end of the year to students because she just held all these books. And there was one book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I started reading one of the chapters, and it was pretty good advice, I suppose, but I wasn't really into reading it. But then there was a girl in one of my other classes that I knew really enjoyed that sort of self-help books thing, like how to improve yourself, how to really make something of yourself. So I thought, well, she'll probably read it. It'll be better than keeping it in my room and having it take up space. So I gave it to her one Christmas out of the blue. I didn't even really know her that well. I just knew of her, and we said hi to each other. We weren't very close, but I just gave it to her. And 4 years later, to this day, on her Facebook profile, it says that's one of her favorite books.
Wait, so did this gift start your friendship?
I don't know. I never actually mentioned it to her ever again in our lives.
That's really, it's a neat, like, convergence of sorts.
I get in trouble sometimes because I don't get presents for people that I'm supposed to get presents for, but then if I see something and it reminds me of someone that, like, I barely even know, but I think I should get it for them, I will. So, like, once in high school, I was kind of friends with this kid, but we were not on gift-giving terms, and I saw this, I think it was an Ozzy Osbourne calendar, and, like, he loved Ozzy, and I think he had mentioned that, like, he needed a calendar, so I just got it for him for Christmas, and he was like, "You got me a present? What?" But he really liked it, and he really appreciated it a lot, so.
That's actually a perfect segue for our next segment, which is talking about giving gifts to people we might not know so well, through the White Elephant or Secret Santa. You're listening to The Radley Porch on WYBC 1340 New Haven.
So just sit down and listen.
Girl, you know we've been together such a long, long time.
We're on The Radley Porch talking about gifts. Specifically, we're talking about White Elephants and Secret Santa.
Well, I had a white elephant for my birthday, mostly because, actually, my friend Henry had suggested doing it as a Christmas thing. My birthday's a month after Christmas, so it's still kind of fresh in my mind. And we never got around to doing it for Christmas, but I thought it was a really good idea because everyone gets something and everyone leaves, even if it's not something that they like, it's a fun process. And also, we used to do it a lot when I was a little kid, so it was kind of a nostalgic thing for me. It was actually with the students in the biology department at the college where my stepdad taught. They would all come over to our house, and, like, we would have a tree decorating thing, and we'd make homemade ornaments, and we'd have a white elephant party. It was cool. The various professors would participate, too, and there were some gifts that would recur year after year, you know, and it was like, oh no, who has to take this bullwhip home for a year? I had a lot of fun. I always feel kind of awkward opening presents that people get me, like, ooh, yay, look at me, I got presents. So it was really, yeah, it was good because it was kind of more of a communal, it was like giving gifts to everybody from everybody, and I think people liked it a lot.
Oh, the most important thing, I think, when giving gifts is to find out who you're giving it to. That's, I guess, what makes the White Elephant gift party so interesting, right? It's because you change the rules of the game. The normal gift-giving game is you give a gift to somebody who you know, and so you can judge, you try to figure out what the reaction would be to the gift, and then you kind of move off whatever your assumptions are that way. And sometimes you really screw up, but, you know, like it's my sister or something, I generally know what she likes, and you try to play it safe, because really planning a good gift can be really, really hard. You can pick something that you know is outrageous, and you're like, who would want this? And of course, there's always somebody that wants it, but you know, after you ask that question, you don't have to worry about the gift anymore. You don't have to worry exactly who is it that doesn't want this or who wants it. You just have to pick something that gives the general reaction, right?
So my only white elephant story comes from first grade. Actually, every story I ever tell you guys comes from elementary school. I'm so sorry about that. But so in first grade, I was like a tomboy, and there were only 5 guys in my class, and everyone else was a girl. But what they did is that we all had to bring in a gift, and we're going to do a white elephant. But they had a girl pile and a boy pile. And the girl pile was, like, you know, filled with, like, things I would never in a million years want. And the boy pile had, like, Legos and, like, Lincoln Logs and stuff that I really, really wanted, right? But I couldn't, you know, I was ended up with something really shitty, like, I don't even, what was it? Probably, like, nail polish? I didn't even, that did not enter my world ever until I was, like, in eighth grade. Anyway, the point was, I was so disappointed by this and so, like, horrified that I kind of am against all white elephants things ever, because I remember this first grade institution of gender separation and terrible gifts. Anyway, and my gift, I spent a lot of time going to the store and getting something awesome, like my favorite book or something that no one else would appreciate, but it wasn't worth it.
But that, I think, plays into the idea that when you buy a gift for someone else, especially if you don't know that person very well, you often buy something that you want, right?
Oh, definitely.
Like, it's something that you would really appreciate, and you would kind of assume, like, if I'm friends with this person, then they would like it too.
Yeah.
So, Tom, I know you really like Christmas, and so what about Christmas do you enjoy so much?
Well, I like Christmas a lot. That's the first thing. And I guess part about Christmas is giving gifts, which is always great, especially when you have to put some thought into giving the gift. And Secret Santa is all about knowing who you're going to give the gift to, but not being quite sure if the person's going to like it. And it's always fun to see how people approach that, and then, I guess, how the gift's finally received, and just what everybody, how they solve all their problems, you know? Yeah, so Secret Santa was the first time, and we did, like, 80 or 90 people, and everybody gave 3 gifts. And we did it over, like, a week and a half. And I think it went really well. Most people liked it. One person got 2 gifts. You know, somebody got none, but that was the only problem. But they were really nice about it. And I think part of that has to do with the gift-giving spirit of Secret Santa, because everybody saw how much fun other people were having giving gifts. Even though Matthew Strother didn't get a gift, he was okay with it. And I think that was part of the fun of it all.
Okay, so the best part about Secret Santa is that you get to know someone you don't really know that well. Well, hopefully, right? So I did this as a big group. And it really sucks when you get a terrible one who, like, gives you coffee and you don't drink coffee, or, like, gives you something you would never, ever use, right? So I try not to be that person who, like, spends the $5 because you have to spend $5 or whatever, right? So this year I got to know this really great guy, and I bought him Nerf guns and a coloring book that was hilarious. It was a Bible coloring book, but the pictures of the people made them look like monsters more than, like, actual humans. Anyway, and the crayons smelled, and they were amazing. And I kind of wanted the gift for myself, all of it, but I gave it to him, which was the best part, because I forced myself to part with something so awesome. I really liked it, so that was great.
I actually have a Secret Santa story myself. Sophomore year, I got this kid that I didn't know at all, actually. And so I had to actually ask his sweet mate what kind of things he liked, what he did. And so what stuck out in my mind was that he wore SpongeBob SquarePants underwear. Or he loved wearing this one pair. And so I thought it would be perfect to have a shirt that went along with it. And so I decided to make a shirt. And so the Urban Outfitters always has that, those Everybody Loves an Irish Girl t-shirts, and so I decided to make a t-shirt that said, Everybody Loves the Boy Who Wears SpongeBob SquarePants Underpants. And on the back, I printed out a picture of SpongeBob SquarePants, and I traced it onto the back, and I had this huge arrow that pointed down, to his underpants. And so it was really fun because I think he really appreciated it, and I think he might have been a little weirded out that I didn't know him at all, yet got him something that was quite fitting. Actually, that was possibly our first interaction, was me giving him that gift. So the power of Secret Santa is really to bring strangers together, too. So you spent about half an hour with us, and we're going to take a short break before we go on to the next segment, which is about the art of receiving a gift. You're listening to WYBC 1340 AM.
And listen. Girl, you know we've been together such a long, long time.
Such a long time.
And now I'm ready to lay it on the line.
Wow, you know it's Christmas.
is open wide. Gonna give you something so you know what's on my mind.
A gift for your special city of the town.
I think one key to the art of receiving gifts is the thank you note.
I learned that my girlfriend has never written a thank you note in her life and had never, like, even heard of them until 8th grade and had to look it up online. She was forced by someone to write a thank you. So, but I've been writing thank you since I was really, really little. Like, that's how I learned to write a letter. That's how I learned to write my name. I swear this is, like, the first memories I have of writing were thank you notes.
Yeah, me too.
And I still write them, like, compulsively. I feel like, yeah. I mean, and that's, like, a big part of getting a gift for me. But do you guys write things? Do
Absolutely.
People write thank
yeah.
yous?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Like, and sometimes it's sad, like, especially when it's forced in any way. Because I remember as a kid, it was always forced. Like, there'd be a gift that I got, and I hated it. But, like, my parents would say, you write a thank you note, and you have to say, like, something nice about the gift. Like, you really like the colors, or, like, something horrible.
It was a formula, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, Aunt, you know, Susan. Thank you for the book. I really like to read it. Thank you.
Mine is still a bit like that, sadly.
I think I've finally matured, and now it's a real letter with just a touch of thank you. So I'm feeling a little better about that.
Well, that's the thing, because it's just basically, with a lot of these things, like gifts that you get at Christmas or whatever, that come through the post, it's from people that say your godmother or aunt or something that you don't actually see very much. But the whole process of going through the receiving and then the thanking is actually the major point of contact you have with that person throughout the year. Like, the thank you letter becomes the moment at which you communicate and you, like, say a bit about what you've been doing. I mean, in my case, I see the thank you letters as, like, a really good excuse to just write them a letter.
Do you ever get a gift that changed the way you looked at a relationship?
I had one friend who, even in college, would still give me presents, and they were sort of artificial things, or, well, she knew I really liked Snoopy, and I still do, but I just don't actively seek things out, and she would give me, like, a figurine, and maybe, like, some other things that you could put on a shelf, and I think it changed the way I thought about how our relationship has progressed, and it was actually pretty sad for me, because I thought, you know, I don't need gifts from people to be friends with them. And also, I don't need figurines or things to put on my desk or drawer. And for someone to just give, like, the standard gift was a little sad. And then it also meant that I would have to give a present back. And it just really complicates the relationship a lot more than just not giving.
Yeah. It seems interesting that, like, that friendship was kind of frozen in time, or you... was kind of, the gift was a visual
yeah.
representation of that.
Yeah. I think gifts have a lot of potential to symbolize the relationship between two people in a very deep way.
What about gifts that you've received? What gift meant the most to you?
I mentored two fifth graders when I was a senior in high school. They, on the last week that I was there, I was actually late because I was trying to print out a collage of photos that we had together of everyone, and so I was a little late, and I had very little time, maybe half an hour, but one of the boys gave me a bouquet of flowers, not roses, well, not red roses, but they're just like a nice mix. It was really pretty. I was so touched, and he made me a card, and he spelled my name wrong. And I still have the flowers to this day, and I think the gratitude and the appreciation and the affection that it represented...
How do you still have the flowers today?
Oh, I dried them.
Okay.
I got them, and I immediately went home and just hung them upside down and just dried them.
Oh, cool. Okay, so you're saying that the...
So I think what those flowers represent... means so much more to me than any flowers that any boyfriend of mine or anyone I ever dated, like, I think they, it trumps it all. Like, I would never, like, I mean, first prom or first boyfriend, like, those flowers mean nothing in comparison to this bouquet.
Okay. I like strange things, and one of my friends, my best friend from home, who I haven't, you know, I can't see, she goes to school in Oregon, she works in a library, and so I got this package from her on no occasion. She just sort of stole a government pamphlet from the library where she works, and it's totally my type of thing. It's from the 60s and, or like early 70s, late 60s, and it's on the CIA, and it's hilarious and great, and it came from nowhere, and it cost her nothing, and it probably cost the school nothing, because it's, you know, free government publication. They probably have millions. Anyway, that still sticks in my mind, like, 2 years later is one of the best gifts.
But you say she stole it.
Well, she works for library categorizing and filing, so I have a feeling that she might have found a duplicate in, like, the categorizing process.
I'm just wondering if there's something about the illicit gift that
well,
kind
that,
of
you know,
is cool.
Not in this case, but in general, maybe, you know. I would have loved it even if she had...
Yeah. Think about, like, the Thomas Crown Affair stealing the painting, and it's like, you know, it's not even the painting at the end of the day, it's just the fact this guy's gonna, like, do all these crazy things to get it for her.
Well, I feel like that's so much of, like, what a gift is, like, valuable based on, like, what, how much pain it took to get, you know, like, or how
which
much,
is what
like,
we've all been saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all these makeshift, you know, noodle decorations.
Like the noodle.
Or embroidered handkerchiefs. I still think it's, like, beyond, like, my capabilities as, like, a second or third grader or whatever.
No, I got it in my mind. Like, do you remember American Girl?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, American Girl, Samantha was, like, from some Victorian era type situation, and she embroidered, and there was a book on how to embroider, and I learned. So, it's pretty cool. It's a good life skill.
On the other hand, is there ever anything to be said for someone just buying you a really nice gift?
My uncle gets me really nice jewelry. He's, like, the only rich person in the family. So, I mean, and he's actually the only, also the only person on that side of the family that, like, has a sense of what I like. Which is funny, because he hates me, but but he's really good at picking things out for me. Actually, for my recent birthday, my boyfriend got me a cake with my name on it. And I was very touched by that, because it had my name on it. If I get a gift that I don't like, it depends. If it's not an expensive present, then I'll just kind of, I'll pretend. I'll say, oh, thank you very much. It's beautiful. Or at least, you know, like, it's unique. Or, like, thank you so much for thinking of me. But, I mean, like, as in, well, it happened this Christmas, my uncle got me a Coach purse, and I hate, like, expensive name brand things, and also B, it was really ugly. Like, it was the worst bag he could have chosen from Coach, and I know he spent a lot of money on it, so I wasn't, like, I felt like it would be to both of our benefits to tell him that I didn't like it, and, you know, save him a couple $100 by telling him that he could return it. So that was, and he was fine with that. He was like, okay, sure. I mean, he said that he knew it was kind of a gamble whether I would like it or not. And he was okay with it. So,
what are some of the best gifts you guys have gotten?
I think the best gift was what I got when I was 4 on my birthday. And it was a yellow train car, a yellow gondola car, 1978 Lionel Baltimore, Ohio gondola car. And I don't think I've ever been happier than it. That was like the perfect, I can't even describe to you how perfect the gift was. Obviously, I still remember. But when was that? It would have been 1990. Yeah. December 18th, 1990. I remember getting it and just being so happy. I remember looking into the box, and I remember sitting in the dining room with it, and I remember taking it out and putting it on the train track and running it around. But I don't know what was so perfect about it, but I think it was something I really wanted, and I didn't know I wanted it. Like, I had a train I'd gotten earlier in the year, and it never occurred to me you could buy more stuff for it. And it was just like somebody got me something I didn't even know I wanted, and it was just the most perfect moment for a 4-year-old.
Anyone else? What other good gifts have you guys gotten?
Books are really good gifts. When I was in junior high, for no real reason, I think it was possibly nominally for graduation, I don't even remember, but I had a teacher who wasn't even my teacher, but who was like a teacher in the school who knew me. We had a lot of conversations and he was really nice. He gave me a copy of Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse, and he wrote, you know, on the cover inside, it was like, you know, this is for Tina. It's a book that I kind of go back to and think about great questions like the ones that we talk about. And I remember I was like in junior high and I read Siddhartha for the first time and I didn't really understand it and I thought it was like the boringest book ever. But I recently reread it when I was in India. And I mean, I guess for many reasons, Siddhartha isn't like it's kind of orientalist and, you know, has its own share of problems. But I felt like that was such a great gift because I don't talk to Mr. Peltz at all anymore. But I felt like, you know, I can look back on that gift now and think about how wonderful it is that this man gave me, like, something that I could sort of read at different moments in my life and really sort of think about myself as a person in junior high, but also a person who is enjoying this book. It's another one of those gifts that sort of continually surprises, in that, like, you don't really think about the value of the gift until you sort of dig it up years later and you're like, wow, this is actually something really valuable to me.
What have been really meaningful gifts to you guys?
I was dating someone for a long time, and randomly, at random intervals, I never knew when it would come, they'd make me a mix CD. And it was, they were, like, they're the best CDs I have to this point, and I love them. And it was so nice that out of the blue, they thought about me and decided that, oh, I'll make this person a CD.
I think they are some of the best gestures ever, because then you've got this thing that can be, like, revisited so many times, and it's just this really lasting.
It's great.
Gift. Yeah.
My boyfriend and I have, like, for a long time, like, even before when we were, like, friends, we'd, like, talk a lot about how we, like, really wanted to go on a road trip through the Pacific Northwest, and we, like, talked about it so much that we started to call it Manifest Destiny. That's just, like, the way that we, like, referred to it. This, like, started a long time before we started dating, and then we started dating, like, right before, like, the holiday season, which I feel like is kind of stressful. That's another story. And then, like, when we were, like, giving each other, like, holiday gifts, like, just, like, completely, like, randomly, like, part of my gift was like a Manifest Destiny CD with, like, all these songs about the places that we were going, and part of his gift to me was a map of the Pacific Northwest as, like, part of this promise. That's kind of nice, and I feel like there's, like, more to come.
What other meaningful gifts have you guys gotten?
For my birthday or for Christmas, I don't even remember. A friend in high school got me this scrapbook of, like, photos that we had taken together with our friends over the years. And at the time, it was like, oh, you know, that's a nice gift. But I feel like it's a gift that, of all the other gifts that I've gotten, and again, this is, like, a friend I really don't keep in contact with all that much anymore, but I feel like it's a gift that has meant a lot to me, just because, you know, it's something that sort of reminds me of this moment in my life and the people that I spent it with. So I guess that's a gift that kind of surprises me in the sense that, like, you know, if I think about it. But I don't know, that actually kind of jogged my memory of the time when I was, like, 6 years old, and it was my birthday, and my mom bought this cake that I brought to school, and cut it up into, like, tiny little pieces and distributed them, you know, in my class. And, you know, you would think that, like, okay, well, that sounds like it's a gift for other people, but I actually felt like that was such a gift for me that my mom got for me on my 6th birthday, because there's something about, like, sharing your birthday and sharing your birthday cake with other people in your class that's, like, really exciting when you're a child, that I think is, like, even more special as a gift, almost, as an experience for the kid.
Well, it's like
having the birthday.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the Dwight Hall, when they do the alternative gifts, when you can buy, say, a goat for a village in India, or...
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's that you don't have to get the gift. It's the fact that you get to
you,
know that...
Right, or... Right, you get to be the person who's giving the you know, who's doing the special thing, which is, I think, equally exciting. And it's an odd kind of concept of, like, I felt like that was a gift that my mother had given me on my birthday, because she bought this cake so that I could give it to other people. You know, it's a really odd kind of concept, but I felt so special that day.
You're with us here on the Radley Porch. If you have any comments or questions or ideas for future shows, please email theradleyporch@gmail.com. That's theradleyporch@gmail.com. Our next section will be about the role shopkeepers play in gift giving. You're listening to WYBC 1340.
So just sit down and listen.
Girl, you know we've been together such a long, long time.
Has a shopkeeper ever helped you pick out a gift?
Yes, I have a story for this one. So when I was in Barcelona one summer with my friend, we were sort of like traveling around and stopping by different local shops, and we stopped by this one shop where I was kind of looking for souvenirs, to like get for my friends and my family. So I'm looking around, and I picked out this like ceramic tile thing with a thermometer, and I thought that it was like really cute, and I was thinking about getting it for my mom. But I went to the cashier, and I started talking with this woman, and my Spanish is kind of like broken, and you know, I'm not all that fluent. But she was so sweet, and we just had this like nice conversation. You know, she asked me where I was from and how long I was in Barcelona. And then as we're talking, this like parade goes by of like these people with torches and in like costumes, and I'm like, what is going, you know, my friend and I are like, what is going on? And she's explaining to us the Festival of San Juan in Barcelona, which is, I think, is a sort of religious holiday. It's a saint holiday. But after this conversation, she gave me a gift. She gave me a candle. It's a little like candle in a ceramic candle holder. She said, "Oh, you know, if you burn a candle on the night of San Juan, it's for good luck." You know, so I felt like that's a shopkeeper story. That's sort of like, you know, you sort of walk in. I walked in thinking I was going to buy some gift, and I ended up being the recipient of a gift from this woman who just was really friendly and really nice. And I still have the candle holder, and I never used it because, I don't know, I felt like I was lucky already because I got this, you know, gift from someone who was really sweet. I don't know what inspired this woman to just give me a gift. I guess she was really friendly, and she just, I guess, liked someone to talk to.
Has anyone else ever encountered a particularly helpful shopkeeper?
I met my boyfriend a couple months before he was going to leave for Vienna for a long time, and he didn't really know what he wanted to do with his life at all at that point, and so I wanted to get him a compass. And I thought I was going to try to find like a really nice compass, like a gold one or something, and I was going into antique stores just to kind of see if I could find anything, even though I knew it would be too expensive. And so I went to one in DC, and I asked the guy if he had compasses, and I kind of explained what it was, and it turned out that he had a stash of like World War II compasses that he gave out to kids when their parents would come in to buy something, and he sold it to me for like $10, and it was this perfect little compass. And we actually went back on our anniversary, and I introduced him to my boyfriend like last year. Because anyway, it was like a perfect, that's the best gift I've ever given by far. It was the only one I've really nailed. But yeah, and he actually remembered.
After hearing those stories, Maudie and I went out to Chapel Street to talk to a few of the local shopkeepers. We first talked to Kiki at Hello Boutique and asked her how she recommends gifts for people.
I guess it varies from person to person, depending on, you know, the age is definitely a determining factor, because if you've got somebody looking for their grandmother, you're not going to go get them the, you know, the high cut skirt and, you know, revealing top. No leopard print for grandma, you know, and sometimes they're coming in looking for something really simple. They may not know a size. So the easiest thing to do is say, well, how about a purse or a scarf or a pair of gloves? You know, something a little bit easier for them.
We asked Steve at 10,000 Villages the same question.
Well, first, you ask the person what the occasion is. They probably already know what the kind of thing that the person would want. So you have just to get them to talk about it. Ask the occasion, ask about the person, lead them around a little bit, pick up things. They like this, they don't like that, that leads you to something else, sort of eliminate some things and bring you in a different direction, that kind of thing.
Has there ever been a time where you really wanted something and so, like, unconsciously you're just recommending it to a lot of people?
Absolutely. Somebody comes in with the same like body type as me and go, oh my god, well, I've picked out my wardrobe in my head, so I'm going to share this knowledge with you. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but definitely when you look at the same articles of clothing for a long amount of time, you become attached to them and attracted to them, and you know, will always say, okay, well, we're sad that that garment is leaving, but we know it's going to a good home. You know, things like that. They really, you know, we get happy when things go with people who love it as much as we do.
Nancy at Villarina said the same thing.
I like to give people things that I like, so, you know, it influences it a bit.
Yeah.
There's a couple of items here. We have an artichoke lemon pesto that I think is outstanding, and we carry some really lovely condiments that are made by a lady in Bridgewater, Connecticut. And a lot of people come in here and they want something from the state. You know, we see a lot of out-of-towners because of Yale, of course. And, we try to recommend, you know, things that are made locally.
Sometimes shopkeepers actually get to see how their gifts play out.
In our stores, and others of ours, you'll find people who come in who adopted a child, perhaps in Vietnam or Guatemala or something, and they want something from that country because they want to surround the child with artifacts of our culture. That's kind of a nice thing to do. We had people, we'd watch kids grow up because the person just gets the child. And then child's two, and then child's five, and then child's seven. They're still coming and getting things. Now the child's coming along and picking things out for herself.
But not all gifts work out so well.
A postdoc, you know, she, her colleagues gave her, it's a red purse. I hope people gave this to her not listening, but it's a red purse with cat's eyes and whiskers on it. And the woman came back and returned it, and she left with a tray made of Tusker beer caps from Kenya. She was more of a Tusker beer cap kind of girl than a red purse with cat's eyes on kind of girl. So they had her totally wrong.
In honor of Valentine's Day, we talked to Raul and Luis, who sell flowers on Chapel Street, about the idea of giving flowers as a present.
One of the things, you know, the classic red rose is beautiful most of the time. But I know there are some ladies around, so they're already tired about roses. So we recommend also orchids as well. Casablanca's lilies are beautiful. You know, there are a lot. Yeah, even like tulips. They're a really good bunch of tulips as well.
So if you want to get flowers on a first date, what kind of flowers should you get?
You know what? Don't get too crazy. Just something really simple. Don't stir, you know, your day. And the best thing is, you know, just really, even like a little something thing, you know. Sometimes guys, ask you, like, you know, so like, for example, roses like that long, you know. So sometimes it's like really long rose to go to a restaurant with somebody, and then the lady has to play the rose. But so, you know, sometimes what I do, I look at the rose like really, really short. I want to like 4 inches, and do like a little boutonniere, but not to wear the boutonniere. Used to get it from, like, you know, by hand. Yeah, and stuff like that. I mean, I know, flowers are beautiful, but also somebody come like with a big, everybody go, wow. No, maybe just like a little something, and I prefer to, you know, to tell them, you know what, like the white rose maybe, or sometimes, like, you know, ladies say like the rose is like sovereign of roses, or give something different, like the bloom of the calla lily, you know. Also, there is like the crazy thing, like sometimes guys come over here and say, you know what, I just want to have sex with this lady or whatever. And then I told them, you know what, maybe you're in the wrong place, you have to go to another place.
So what kind of flowers should we buy for Valentine's Day?
On Valentine's Day, I mean, we recommend these guys here, which are the, they're called Black Magic.
But to recommend something really, you know, like an amazing gift for somebody, I believe. I mean, I know, we do flowers, and basically, a lot of flower shops, they do a lot of business for Valentine's Day. But sometimes it's a little bit crazy, because the prices are, like, crazy. Uh-huh. So we prefer sometimes to do, like, weddings or different kind of stuff to make money, not for Valentine's Day. So sometimes, well, believe me, I tell people, you know what, the best gift for Valentine's Day, you get a single red rose, a really good book, and that's it.
What?
You know, and that's it. Because even if I do, you know, if my main thing is doing flowers to survive, not survive, you know, to pay my rent, pay my bills and all that, sometimes even the flower shop or even the wholesale places, they hold the flowers like for 3 weeks. So sometimes when somebody is buying like 1,000 roses for $75, those roses will last only like 2 or 3 days. So the best thing is that, you know, good book, one single rose, and after Valentine's Day, you know, maybe buy like roses every week for your wife or your girlfriend, and it's better. Believe me, because, you know, the commercialization of Valentine's Day is getting worse.
You've been listening to The Radley Porch on WYBC New Haven. To contact us, email theradleyporch@gmail.com.
To finish up our show today, we have a passage from the end of Harper Lee's novel, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Neighbors bring food with death and flowers with sickness and little things in between. Boo is our neighbor. He gave us 2 soap dolls, a broken watch and chain, a pair of good luck pennies, and our lives. But neighbors give in return. We never put back into the tree what we took out of it. We had given him nothing, and it made me sad. I turned to go home. Streetlights winked down the street all the way to town. I had never seen our neighborhood from this angle. There was Miss Maudie's, Miss Stephanie's. There was our house. I could see the porch swing. Miss Rachel's house was beyond us, plainly visible. I could even see Mrs. DeBose's. I looked behind me. To the left of the brown door was a long shuttered window. I walked to it, stood in front of it, and turned around. In daylight, I thought, you could see to the post office corner. Daylight. In my mind, the night faded. It was daytime, and the neighborhood was busy. Miss Stephanie Crawford crossed the street to tell the latest to Miss Rachel. Miss Maudie bent over her azaleas. It was summertime, and 2 children scampered down the sidewalk toward a man approaching in the distance. The man waved, and the children raced each other to him. It was still summertime, and the children came closer. A boy trudged down the sidewalk, dragging a fishing pole behind him. A man stood waiting with his hands on his hips. Summertime, and his children played in the front yard with their friend, enacting a strange little drama of their own invention. It was fall, and his children fought on the sidewalk in front of Mrs. DeBose's. The boy helped his sister to her feet, and they made their way home. Fall, and his children trotted to and fro around the corner, the day's woes and triumphs on their faces. They stopped at an oak tree, delighted, puzzled, apprehensive. Winter, and his children shivered at the front gate, silhouetted against a blazing house. Winter, and a man walked into the street, dropped his glasses, and shot a dog. Summer, and he watched his children's heart break. Autumn again, and Boo's children needed him. Atticus was right. One time he said you never really know a man until you stand in his shoes and walk around in them. Just standing on the Bradley porch was enough.
Mark.
Yeah.
Inger.
Yeah.
Boyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show that reckless heart.
Thanks for listening to The Radley Porch. I'm Rachel Haverford.
And I'm Monty Atkinson. Please join us at the same time next week to listen to our program on live.